And we're off to Vahadisnan Ein Pochasin, which you'll see pretty much smack in the middle of the Amud. And the Gemara is going to try to prove from the Mishnah Peah that the amount of mazon for the requirement of Shabbos is less than four seudos, but we'll see from this Mishnah in Peah that it would seem that it might even be less than three seudos. Why? Because the Mishnah speaks about two types of aniyim. There's one ani who is traveling through the city, and he needs to be supplied with food for one day. And you have another ani who's going to stay in the city. He might be staying for a week. He might be staying over Shabbos. He might be staying for one night. And then there's going to be a different cheshbon as to what we have to supply him from the community chest of tzedakah. So v'hadisnan ein pochasin li'ani ha'over mimakom l'makom mikikar befundyon me'arba se'in besela. And Bli Neder, in the last year, I think, we went through all the different calculations and we came to conclusion that the amount of food that we're supplying for this Ani who's going from one city through us to another city, he's not staying over, is the equivalent of Mazon Shtei Seudos. The Gemara, the Mishnah, I should say, calculates Mazon Shtei Seudos in terms of how much it would cost, given the currency of that time, to purchase what we call Arba Se'in Shel Kemach. And he could purchase that with a Sela. And we calculated in the last year how much the Fudjon is worth in comparison to the Sela, and how much of a volume of Kemach you could purchase for this Fudjon. And given the fact that four Kavim could be sold or could be bought in a Sela, then Fundion will buy Mazon Shtei Seudos. Lun, the Mishnah continues, if he's intending to stay within the city, Nosim Lo Parnosos Lina, we have to make sure that he has a bed, and he has a pillow, and that he has a blanket, and so forth, whatever it needs, and whatever it's required for him to sleep overnight. The Gemara is going to go into detail about this. And V'im Shavas, if his intention is to stay over Shabbos, then Nosim Lo Mazon Sholosh Seudos. Is Lema Rabbanan Hivalo Chidka. So at this point, when we get to Shabbos, then we jack up the Seudah requirement to three Seudos. And that would seem to reflect the sheet of Chachamim against Rabbi Chidka, that the mineral requirement derived from Hayom three times is three Seudos. That's our obligation for Shabbos. And again, the Rishonim Tosfos point out that the reason why the Mishnah is so complicated in telling us the value of, you know, of the Shtei Seudos, given the currency of that time and the volume of Kemach that he would buy with that currency, is because the Mishnah wants to address the contemporary society of its time, the time of the Mishnah. And Tosis says that Hatam Shalo Omar Beferu Shenosinlo Kikar Mireva Kav Chitin Shieshlo Muslim Shtei Seudos. Why did the Mishnah just say it straight? It didn't have to tell you that it's Arba Soim that's sold for a Sela and break it down into Pidyonin. Kiratza Litain Dugma Shaisan Oheges Bismaneim. The Mishnah had an agenda to describe the example of the situation that was very common in that time. Bismaneim, hayu kama shiurim lekikros. Right, there were different shiurim of what a kikar looked like. Umadru chachamim, and the chachamim measured them. Verosh shashir shal echad min hakikros ukach v'kach. V'itzianu ukach b'mechiro b'fundyon, which was the local and contemporary currency at that time. Ach, you might have come to the wrong conclusion that it's always going to be a kikar which is sold on the market at a fundion. Lefamim yishtanu mechirei achitim b'shvakim. But due to various market conditions, it might go up, it might go down. And kvar nimkar befundion, you know, you may be able to have a situation where lo yehei bo mazon shtei sudas, that which is sold at a fundion, if the fundion goes down in value, will not supply the oni with mazon shtei sudos. Is lokacho sifo lomar, the Mishnah goes on to say, shezera kasher arba soinim kar besela, that the kikar that you bought for a pigeon is only if the market conditions are such that with a sela you could purchase 4 soin. So now the question is, can we reconcile this Mishnah with the Shita Rabbi Chidka and justify why on Shabbos, if the Oni is staying over for Shabbos, all we need is to supply him with 2 seudos? So the Gemara answers, Li Olam Rabbi Chidka kigon de'ika seuda bahadei. We're talking about a situation of an Oni who shows up in the city, he's carrying with him 1 seuda. The Amrina Le, we say to him, Ha de Iko Badoch Achle, you know, it's Friday, go eat that 1 seuda that you have. And therefore you'll have now, together with the 3 sudos that we'll give you on Shabbos, you'll have 1 extra suda. So the seuda that he has, he's going to eat it. Let's just read the language here. He says that Hasuda sheyesh itcha tochal erev Shabbos. So that seuda is going to carry you from Friday into Shabbos. And if that be the case, then he has really 4 seudos to take him through Shabbos. 1 is the seuda that he has with him, and on top of that, we're going to give him 3 seudos for Shabbos, and all told, they'll have 4 seudos to eat over Shabbos. Let's just add 1 minor point here, but should be worth mentioning that we're going to have to supply him also with 1 seuda for Motzei Shabbos. Let's assume he's traveling out of the city on Sunday morning. So Sacha Kol, he has 5 seudos. He has 1 seuda of his own. We're giving him 3 seudas for Shabbos, and we're giving him an extra seuda for Motzei Shabbos. Now, if he has 1 seuda and he arrives in the city on Friday, the Gemara says, "V'chi ozel berekon ozel." If he's gonna, you know, are we gonna send him out? Ozel means after Shabbos, when he's about to leave the city, should we tell him to go rekom? In other words, he needs at least 1 seuda. And presumably, if he's leaving on Sunday morning, he's eaten that extra seuda on Motzei Shabbos. So the number 5 seudos here is a little bit off kilter, because we can't send him out on an empty belly on Sunday morning and he doesn't have any seuda. So the more answers, Dimalavinan le seuda bahadei. So we're going to have to give him a seuda for the derech, meaning that he should have on Yom Rishon. In other words, an extra seuda for the morning meal. And basically what's happening is that if we give him a Motzei Shabbos meal plus a Sunday morning meal, then we fulfilled our obligation of giving him 2 seudos for a day. That's what we said in the case of Over Me'ir Le'ir. We gave him 2 seudas daily. And this fellow, since he's leaving on Sunday, he'll be supplied with 2 seudos for that day, meaning for Motzei Shabbos plus Sunday morning. So at the end, if we introduce this ukimta, namely the Ika Suda Badei, we can square off this mission in Peah with Rabbi Chidka. Now the Gemara asks, my Parnassas Lina. In other words, we gave him a Seuda and we gave him the Kikar Lechem. Now we have to give him Parnassas Lina. What's included in Parnassas Lina? Now we're a Papa Puria Ubeis Daya. We have to supply him with a bed and bedding, which would probably mean on top of the bed. He needs, you know, he needs a blanket. He needs what's called a kar, a karit, or a pillow. Okay, then. Now, the Gemara is going to go into detail about the three suddas. Torah Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Ka'oro Sha'ochel Bahem Arvis. So he finished his suddas Laila, and now he wants to prepare himself for suddas Yom, but he only has one set of dishes. Is Madichon, he's allowed to wash the dishes. Lechel Bahem Shachris, right? So all three suddos are all suddas of Shabbos. So from one sudda to the other, he could prepare. And if he needs to wash his dishes in order to prepare from one sudda to the other, it's not like he's preparing for Chol. Shachris. He already ate his sudda Shachris. And now he needs utensils to eat his third sudda. Madichon, lechel behen, batzorayim. So it's okay. Now, the word batzorayim, we should not be mistaken about the interpretation of the word tzarayim and think that this is identical with Shalosh Sudas, the third Suda, because take a look at the next line in the Braisa. The Braisa says that not only are you permitted to wash your dishes from your, you know, that were dirty from Suda Shachris for the purpose of Suda Tzarayim, but also Madichon Lechel Behen. But mincha, after you ate tzarayim, you can wash them for another meal. And that's the meal that he eats mincha time. Okay, now the Mishnah, the Braisa limits this. Where's the limitation? No longer will we allow you to wash the dishes. And he says, min mincha v'yelech shuv eino mediach. So from the time of mincha and on, so he has, let's say, karos that he bowls and plates that he used for his sudas mincha, then after mincha, he has to leave them around. Because if he would clean them, that's certainly litzar chol. We don't assume mincha time, he's going to eat another meal. That's only as far as karos are concerned. Aval kosos, v'kitonios, v'tzluchios. So these are larger kelim. And these kelim are specifically earmarked for drinking liquids. Is meidiach vaholech kol hayom kulo. When it comes to drinking, ein kva lishasia. There's no end or time, expiration time when we terminate drinking. Drinking you always have to have your cups available for drinking, and even at the last minute, he might decide that he wants to drink. The Mishnah Berurah paskens in Shin Chav Gimel that Enoch Hinami, in a case where it's absolutely clear to him that he's not going to be drinking, then he's not allowed to be Mediach Kelim, because that would be preparation for Chol. The Rishonim, the Meiri, and the Rif, each on one side of the debate, wonder whether or not this Braisa is reflecting the Shita Rabbi Chidka, because after the afternoon meal, which is number three, he is preparing for a later meal, number four, mincha time. And Enoch Hinami, the Meiri, writes that this Braisa reflects the Shita Rabbi Chidka. The Rif, on the other hand, is of the opinion that there's no proof. You could say that this Braisa works out with the Rabban as well, but he's eating a Sudas Rishus, his fourth Suda. Now, as we're just calculating the question of Hachana, of Hadocha, with its Mutana, has nothing to do with the number of Sudas. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazim, Rav Yishu ben Levi, Mishum Kapar, Kol HaMakayim. From now on, we learn in a long Agadot about the mitzvah of Onig Shabbos. If a person fulfills the mitzvah Achila Shal Sudas B'Shabbos, is Nitzol Mishalosh Peronios. We're going to see that each one of these punishments has some relationship to Sudas Shabbos. And he'll be spared from these three categories of punishments. The first of which is called Chevlo Shel Mashiach, the Yisurim that come to the generation of Mashiach. And the idea is that when David HaMelech comes, then there's going to be Kategoria Ba'olam. The Makatrigim are going to reign free, those prosecutors and there'll be a lot of tzoros right before Mashiach comes. And the reason why it's called Chevlo Shel Mashiach, because the word Chevlo is a reference to a pregnant woman who goes into labor. Her labor pains are compared here to the pains at the time of Mashiach. And labor pains really precede the birth itself and so forth, with regard to the time of Mashiach. Right before Mashiach comes, there'll be these labor pains, and only afterwards we'll have, so to speak, the birth, which is Mashiach himself. And all this is based on a sugya in Ksubas on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Second category is Midina Shel Gehenna, from the judgment to purgatory, if you want to call it that. And number three is Mimilchemes Gog Umagog. So Medina Shel Gehenna means the punishment that is waiting for the Rishoyim in Gehenna. And Milchemes Gog Umagog is going to be the great war before the Geula. And that's when the king of Gog is going to come with his nation and together with other nations, and they're going to climb up to fight a battle against Klal Yisrael, against the people of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to whammy them with a mahuma gedola, and as a result they will fall dead in front of Klal Yisrael. All this is explained and spelled out in Yechezkel Perek Lamed Ches. Okay, Rav Tzadok HaKohen has a whole discussion here about how these promises will be fulfilled with regard to someone who's already died. Now, he was very makpid on Shal Sudas, but now he's no longer alive. How is he going to be Zocha at the time of Mashiach? In any event, now, the Gemara is going to analyze each one of these three categories of punishment, which the Shomer, the Zohir in Shal Sudas is protected, is going to be saved from. Chevel Shel Mashiach Ksiv Hacha, here in Sudas Shabbos, we derive the number of Seudas on Shabbos from the word Yom. Uksiv Hasam, and there, Legabi Yomos HaMashiach, at the end of Tanakh, in Malachi, it says, Hinei Anochi Vesholech Lachem Eselyon Avilthnei Bo Yom HaGadol VeHanora. So it's called again Yom. So we're going to make a kind of a Gzeirah Shavah here, Yom Yom, and we're going to derive the conclusion that he who fulfills the first Yom, which is Sudas Shabbos, is going to be spared from Chevelei Mashiach, about which the Torah calls Hayom. Number two, Midina Shel Gehenna. It says here with regard to Shabbos, Yom Uksiv Hasam in Tzfanya Novi. With regard to Gehenna, it says Yom Evra Hayom Hahu. So this is the day of anger, that day, but the Torah went out of its way to say that day, Yom Evra, in order to create this equation between the Yom of Gehenna and the Yom of someone who is observant and meticulous about Sudas Shabbos. He will be saved and spared from Dina Shel Gehenna. And again, the Gemara is not taking this pasuk literally, because if you do, Yom Evra is not really the punishment of Gehenna. But in any event, Chazal are using it in a broader sense to refer to Gehenna. And finally, the last of the three categories, Mimilchemes Gog Umagog, Ksiv Hachayeb Mitzudas Shabbos as Yom, Uksiv Hasam in Yechezkel, describing the great war of Gog Umagog, it says, Biyom Bo Gog, Biyom Bo Gog. And this teaches us that Sudas Shabbos is going to protect him and spare him from the Milchemes Gog Umagog. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Kolam Anigas Hashavas Nosin Lo Nachla Beli Mitzarim, will give us an endless portion of merits and rewards. Beli Kates Ugvul, that's what it means below. below Mitzari. And Ma'aniges HaShabbos means that he fulfills the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos with a full heart, meticulously. Shenemar Poskin Yeshayo Anovi, this is the famous chapter, Nunches, that's dedicated to Shmir Shabbos. And it says, V'karosol Shabbos Oneg, Oz Tis'anig Al Hashem, V'hirkavticha, Al Bomasei Oretz. And then it says, V'achalticha, Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. So the Nach promises that Tis'anig Al Hashem, and then Oz, as a result, I will bring you to the Eretz, and I will feed you Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. And the Pasuk emphasizes Yaakov, and not the Nachla of Avram or Yitzchak, to teach us the following. And here we're on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. It says that Ma'aniges HaShabbos will receive Nachlas Yaakov. It doesn't say V'lo Ke Avram, not like the promise that was given to Avram, Shekosu Bo. It says in Parashas Lech Lecha in regard to Avram, Kum is Halech Ba'aretz Lior Kol Lerach Ba'ki Lecha Tnena, which implies that only this land is given to the descendants of Avram. And in that sense, we're talking about a Nachla in Mitzarim with boundaries. V'lo, and furthermore, not like the promise, the divine promise to Yitzchak, Shekosubo Ki Lecha Ulazarcha Tenis Kol Arotzo Sa'el, meaning these lands, but nothing beyond these lands. Eloki Yaakov, Shenemar Bo, Shekosuv Bo, Ufaratzta Yomav Akedma Tzafonav Anegba, which the Gemara is interpreting as means Beligvul, there's no bounds. So this pasuk of Nachlas Yaakov Avicha is appropriate because we're talking about a divine promise to Yaakov that has no bounds. Now, the observance of Shabbos has a special relationship to Yaakov Avinu, because the Pasuk says about Yaakov, Ayichen es pnei ha'ir. And Rashi interprets that Vayichen es pnei ha'ir, referring to Yaakov, is kovat chumim im dimdume chama. That Yaakov is very meticulous about Tchum Shabbos. Now, there's no question that Avram and Yitzchak were also meticulous about the observance of Shabbos. And therefore the question arises that if they were meticulous, even for Erev Tavshilin, Chazal say, why did the person who, or any person who is makbid to fulfill this mitzvah properly of Onik Shabbos, why can't it be Zocha to a Nachla below Mitzorim, like that of Avram and Yitzchak? So we'll just mention an insight here of the Brisker Rav in his commentary on Torah, Breishis Chav Ches, that Nachlas Avram v'Yitzchak is Eretz Yisrael itself with its bounds. But in case of Yaakov, the promise here is a Nachla b'li mitzorim, meaning it's not limited to the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael decide to go beyond the bounds with a kibush after they've conquered Eretz Yisrael, then any of those lands will be considered like Eretz Yisrael. And that's the promise to Yaakov of Nachla B'li Mitzorim, not bounded even by the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, he wants to add another merit or reward and a salvation and protection from suffering which is generated by Onik Shabbos, and that is Nitzol Mishibud Golios, from the subjugations of the nations of the world. In other words, if he took upon himself Shabbos, which is a day of rest, then he will be exempt from the heavy weight of Golos, of Jewish suffering and pressure in the exile. And how do we see this? Going back to the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, Ksiv hacha v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, oz tisaneg al Hashem v'hir kavticha al b'masei oretz, uksiv hasam, and we're talking about Zos HaBrocha, we're talking about Dvarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu bestows a bracha on Klal Yisrael before his death. It says, Ashrecha Yisrael, Mi kamocha amno shav Hashem, V'ikach ashu oivecha loch, V'ata al bomoseimo tidroch. So it's almost word for word what we saw in Yeshayahu Anovi. We see here in Parshas Vizos HaBracha. And the Lashon of Bomos is the same as the Lashon Bomos Seimo. And this is a reference to the enemies of the Jewish people and the Navi is promising us that the nations that try to subjugate us, but we will subjugate them, and that's Bomose. So I'm Anigas HaShabbos, anyone who's trying to subjugate him will be subjugated. Yeshua du tachtov over Yisrael. V'hui notzel mishibudom. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda Marav Kolam Anigas HaShabbos nosdim lo mishalos libo. He can ask and request any petition that he wants and God will grant it. Shenemar poskim tilim v'sanag al Hashem. And that's a reference to Onik Shabbos. V'yitein lecha mishalos libecha. No, unqualified. God will hearken to your prayers and grant you all that you're asking for, anything that your heart desires. Onik zeh, when it says v'sanag in the Pasuk in Tillim, is eni yodea mahu. In other words, lo matzina, we don't find shehe mutal is anig v'lelech achar amosros. You know, the Torah does not encourage us to look for luxuries. So what is v'sanag al Hashem? And the answer we'll know from another pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. Kshu Omer, it says in Yeshayahu Perek Minches, v'karosel Shabbos Onig, and v'omer ze Onig Shabbos. Pasuk ends with the words v'yitein lecha mishalos libecha, means that kol ha'onig es ha'shabbos, ma'onig es ha'shabbos, nosin lo mishalos libo. We should mention at this point that there's machlokas rishonim whether onig Shabbos itself is a mitzvah in a Torah, or we're dealing only with an asmachta derabbanon, and we call it a mitzvah aseh midivrei hanaviim, which has the same status as a mitzvah derabbanon. We also want to point out that the Rambam's language at the beginning of Perek Lamed Milchas Shabbos is Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos Shnayim Min HaToru Shnayim Divrei Sofrim, but he adds V'Heim Mefurashim Al Yedei Hanaviim. And as far as the Shnayim Min HaToru, the Torah says Zochar V'Shomor. As far as the Nevi'im are concerned, the Rambam says Kavod V'Oneg. And he quotes the Pasuk V'Karasel Shabbos Oneg L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubat. So it seems clearly from the Rambam that Onik Shabbos is not the Oraisa, but rather it's Midivrei Sofrim. On this we have a long chiddush of the Chassam Sofer, which he reiterates also in his Tshuvos, that even the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is the Oraisa, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and he has various proofs and nafkaminas from this interpretation of the Rambam. The Ramban also seems to indicate in his Pirush al Torah that we're dealing with a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Ramban is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Mem Beis, and that this was halacha, says the Ramban, that was mekubeles. Yeshayahu wrote it explicitly, but it was already part of the tradition, ish mipi ish, and it goes back to the source, to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Tanchuma says that explicitly, but not with regard to Oneg Shabbos, but with regard to Kavod Shabbos. And therefore it makes sense that we could take Kavod V'Oneg and derive from Kavod that according to the Tanchuma, Kavod is Doraisa, then Oneg is also Doraisa. The Gemara now goes into details about Oneg Shabbos. B'mema Ango, how do you fulfill this mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos? What should he be eating? And here we have delicacies. Rav Yehuda Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Shilat is Rosh Teva Shivisa Hashem Linegbisom. Mishmei de Rav Omar. Betavshil Shel Tradin. Now, Tradin, or Tered, is what we call today Selek, and that's beets. V'dogim gedolim v'roshei shumin. So he puts together the following concoction. He has the following ingredients. He's got beets, he has small fish, and he has the heads of garlic. And he cooks this together. And this is a special Michael for Shabbos. That is a kiyum of Onik Shabbos. Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav Afilu Dovar Muad. Maybe he's not wealthy enough to afford this wonderful Tavshil Shel Tardin and Dogim Gedolim and Rosh Hashumin. So therefore, whatever he adds to enhance his Shabbos and his Oneg, that itself is a fulfillment of the mitzvah. There's no minimum requirement. It's always going to be Afilu Dovar Muad. Even a small something. The main thing is, as the Rambam writes, Shetehe Shvisoso Shvisa Nikeres, that it should be obvious that this is a different day. This is not a weekday. It's not a secular day. This is a day where we eat something special. And whatever it is, even if it's a Dover Muad, if that's all you can afford, so be it. That will be a Kiyum of Onik Shabbos. So the Gemara now asks, Maihi. Now what's bothering the Gemara? When the Gemara asks, Maihi? I'll just read to you this beer that I have. He says, Mau dover muad sha'oso solichvod Shabbos. Meaning, give me an example of that illustrates what would be something that's a dover muad. Dover muad means it's not a mashu. It's not just that he adds salt to his food or something. Omarav papa kasa de harsana. Now, kasa de harsana, something that we're familiar with from Masechta Brachos and elsewhere, and that are small fish that are fried in oil and flour. I guess we'd call it today maybe fish sticks or something along that line. And this is something which is enough if you can add that to your Shabbos program, or I don't know what word I'm looking for here, but to your diet and your rest and your menu, let's call it, for Shabbos, that's enough to be considered Dover Muot. Now, by the way, Onik Shabbos, according to the Hasidish Sfarim, is really Tainig Ruchni. It's really something more spiritual. So Hama'aniges HaShabbos is not just ba'achila, but the achila itself should be something that uplifts it. And that's why it's so important to make the Suda Shabbos into something ruchani. Now we go on, and we have the statement of Rabbi Chiya. Om Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan kol Meshamer, Shabbos kil chaso. If he observes the Shabbos meticulously, is afilu oved avodah zarah kedor ha'enosh mochlin lo. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of literary license here, and I'm going to assume that when it says afilu oved avodah zarah, which literally translates if he's worshipping now in the present tense, I think it should mean afilu avad avodah zarah. And he says mochlin lo. So imagine he's worshipping idols and he's observing the Shabbos. And are we going to say that the Shmir Shabbos just completely wipes off his avodah zarah? Let's get back to Enosh. The pasuk says, "Shenemar in Yoshaya Perik Nunvav Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zos." And then it says, "Shomer Shabbos Michalolo." Enosh was the son of Shais, who was the son of Adam Arishon. In the generation of Enosh, they began to worship Avodah Zarah. And the pasuk says in the beginning of Bereishis, "Oz Huchal Likro B'Shem Hashem. Huchal is Miloshin Chulin, or desecration. They began Likros Hashemos Ha'onam B'Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asosom Elilim. This is a human deity, a man who is a deity. So that's called Dar Enosh, the very beginning, the fledgling, if you will, the source, historically, of Avodah Zarah. And it says, Mechalalo, Al Tikri Mechalalo, Ela Mochul Lo. So Enosh, in this Pasuk, is a representation of someone who behaved in his lifetime like the people of the generation of Enosh. But nevertheless, he worships Hashem through Shmir Shabbos. He will be duly rewarded. And therefore the Pasuk says, Mochulo. So we're not leaving out the Pasuk. Is therefore Enosh, if he observes the Shabbos as a schar for Shmir Shabbos, yimchulu al avonosav. Because otherwise it should have said mechalaleha, or mechalala. But mechalalo, the Lashon Zachar, Rabbi Yochanan interprets it to refer to Adam. We'd have to assume, this would be suicidal for me to assume otherwise, that what we're talking about, Rabbi Yochanan, is a person who does tshuva, and the power of Shmir Shabbos within the framework of tshuva is such that they'll be mochalim for the most severe averos, even for idol worship. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Il Mole. Shomru Yisrael Shabbos Rishona. If only the Jewish people had observed the very first Shabbos that they were given, Lo Sholto Ben Uma V'Loshon, no other nation would be able to subjugate them. Shenemar, in the parsha of Mora, when the Torah gave the mitzvah of Shabbos, and actually, this is a little bit later than Moro, when Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the people that on Shabbos they should not go out to collect the man. And Shenemar, it says, Devahi bayom ha-shvi'i yotzu min ha'am lilkot. The Pasuk itself testifies to the effect that the people went out to collect the man in violation of Moshe's command. And they violated, desecrated the Shabbos. Uksiv Basrei. And in a later chapter of Sefer Shmos, it says, Vayavo Amalek Vayilochim im Yisrael. And Amalek comes to fight against the people right after, and only after, they were Mechal Shabbos. Had Bnei Yisrael been Shomer Shabbos on that very first Shabbos, then it wouldn't have come out that Amalek would go out to battle against Klal Yisrael. I have a note here in the name of the Beis Yosef. He writes that im Amalek lo hayaboli lochem im Yisrael. Let's look at the repercussions down the line. If, again, Klal Yisrael had observed meticulously that first Shabbos, instead of going out and collecting the man as a rebellion, then Amalek would not have come to fight against Israel. And look at this. Lo hoya shum am veloshen bohem li lochem bohem. They were afraid, all the nations, after seeing what happened to Mitzrayim, and of course, Kriyas Yamsuf, of attacking Klal Yisrael. If there's anyone who could break that, it would be Amalek. But if Amalek wouldn't have come, then none of the nations would have had the gumption to come and raise arms against Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Here's where the tremendous repercussions of Amalek's attack And after Amalek attacks the people of Israel, even though Amalek will be, you know, will give him one, will zap him, but nevertheless, it still has an impact on the Umos HaOlam. And they will see that it's still possible to fight a battle and destroy Am Yisrael. Chas v'shalom. Omar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shim ben Yochai. Il mole mishamrim Yisrael shtei shabosos kilchosam yad nigolim. If Klal Yisrael as a unit, as a communal entity, would observe two consecutive shabosos, then the geula is right here. Shenemar, again going back to the same parsha in Yeshayo Perek Nunvav, Ko Amar Hashem L'Sarisim. This we read on a Tainus, if you remember. And Hashem speaks to the eunuchs, to the men that cannot father a child. Asher Yishmeru Shabsosai. Now we notice that Shabsosai is written in plural. And the minimum of plural is always shtayim, is two. So we're talking about observing two Shabbosos, uksiv basrei, and the very next pasuk it says vaveyosim el har kodshi, that God promises the geula. So the juxtaposition here of these psukim of asher yishmu shabsosai and of vaveyosim is that if Klal Yisrael would observe two Shabbosos, that would clinch it. That would guarantee that the Mashiach would come. You know, recently here we had a very, very quiet Shabbos. When I mean a quiet Shabbos is because of a lockdown. Everything here in Israel was closed, was locked down. You know, there were no movies, there were no ships, there were no television. Everything was on lockdown. Well, I don't know about television, but... So basically... You know, we should have gotten credit for one of these two Shabbosos. And it was quite amazing to listen to the quiet on the Jerusalem-Tel Aviv highway. Now the Gemara goes back to the mitzvah of eating three seudos. Omar Rav Yossi, Yehi Chelki Me'ochli Sholosh Sudas B'Shabbos. Halavai that my chelik in the world of reward should be like those who eat three seudos of Shabbos. Even though for us that's not a challenge, but again, back in the day, it was not to be taken for granted that you would eat three seudos over the course of Shabbos. Now, the Gemara brings a number of things or statements of Rabbi Yossi. And all of these statements open with the words Yehi Chelki, may it be my, may I get a portion with those. And the Marsha explains that the common link, the denominator for all these statements that we're going to learn now of Rabbi Yossi that start with Yehi Chelki, is that these are things that people take lightly. They're not considered choshev in the eyes of man, to be medagdic, to be so meticulous. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is going to declare Yehi Chelki, may it be that I have a portion im hamakpidim aleihem, those who are makpid. And this is his way, Rabbi Yossi's way of being Mazari's others, to awaken them to a commitment to be very meticulous about these. First of which we said on the list, here in the Gemara and Shabbos, is Ochle Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos. Om Rabbi Yossi, and furthermore, Yehi Chelki Mi Gomrei Halel B'Chol Yom. If only I had the portion of reciting of belonging to that group that is very careful to recite Hallel on a daily basis. So the Gemara can't understand this statement of Rabbi Yossi. Ani, is this really true? Are you allowed to be Gomer the Hallel on a daily basis? Omer Mar, we have a statement of one of the Chachamim, HaKorei Hallel B'chol Yom, HaReza Mecharifu Megadev. So this Gemara is presenting the following paradox. On the one hand, Yehi Chelki, says Rabbi Yossi, declares it with all that excitement that halavai, I should reach that level where I could recite Hallel on a daily basis. On the other hand, Hallel is something that's designated for miracles that abrogate the laws of nature. And if you recite Hallel on a daily basis, you're basically watering down the whole meaning of Hallel. And therefore, Hakori Hal B'chol Yom Areza Mechari for Megadev. It's almost as if he's blaspheming. You know, this is not something that we can encourage. So there was a Takon of Nevi'im that we should recite Hallel on certain special times, set times. It's a Shevach V'odoyat Hashem. And now he's undermining that takana by reading it shelo bizmano on a daily basis. He's like making fun of the Chachomim. So the Gemara answers, how do we get out of this paradox? Ki kamrina, what Rabbi Yossi meant, yichelki migomri halal b'chol yom. He is referring to Psukei de Zimra. That's also a halal. And I heard from my Rebbe many times that the difference between Psukei de Zimra on a daily basis and halal for miracles is that the greatness of Psukei de Zimra, in a sense, even surpasses that of Hallel for miracles, because Hashamayim Esaprim Kodel, and when we see the universe and its natural order, and we see that everything is a miracle, as the Ramban says in Parshas Bo, again, it's Nistar and it's not Nigla, we break out in a song of praise. Hallelu es Hashem in Hashamayim, we say. Hallelu Kel B'Kodesho, we recite. These are Psukim in which we see the divine hand in nature, because all of nature is the Shulchan Aruch of the divine will. And when we wake up and we see the sunrise and we see beautiful stars at night in the sun, in the heavens, that Shevach is the greatest Shevach. That's already Chelki. Om Rav Yossi Chelki, Mimispalalim im Dum Dume Chama. And this is what we mean, first of all, in the morning, to recite Tefillah Shachris immediately after Anetzach Chama. And that's a tremendous kiyum of Asikin. And in the evening, Tefillas Mincha, according to Rabbi Yossi, should be right before Shkia Sachama. And I know people who are deliberate about delaying Mincha until that last moment of time, especially amongst Hasidim. However, there are those who say that we better have Mincha early if we can, because you never know. You know, let's not delay Mincha. We might miss Mincha entirely. So Rabbi Yossi is coming to teach us that l'chatchila, you might say, well, you know what, let's delay Shachris until it's Yom Gomer. You know, not at that moment you start looking at Hanetz, it's still almost dark outside, you know, it's not lit sunrise, you might daven Shachris too early. No. Says Rabbi Yossi, don't worry about that. Just be meticulous to daven at Hanetz. Now, there is a comment here of the Marsha and something in Rabbeinu Yonah that we should share. The Marsha says that the Takana of Hallel were the early Nevi'im, B'yomim yuchadim al anisim she'er b'yoso yomim k'dei l'farsim she'kodesh baruch hu bal yecholes. We have the obligation to publicize the fact that God is omniscient, and he's omnipotent, he knows all, he can accomplish all, he has total control over the universe, he can abrogate the laws of nature. And if he recites Hallel, says the Marsha, on a daily basis, then that Amir of Hallel now, on a daily basis, has no meaning to it. We're not going to be able to publicize the great miracles of God and God's control over nature if we're reciting the same Hallel on every day. Rabbeinu Yonah points out, not here, but in Masechta Brachos, that Teva itself, nature itself, is Maisi Yedei Hashem. And Hu Murkav Miretzef Shel Nisim. Maisi Yedei Hashem in Teva is a continuum of miracles. But man might forget this fact. He might think that Teva goes on automatically. It's Pol Mi'atzma, Mikoch Atzma, without any Hashgacha. And therefore, Mevatel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midei Pam Es Chukei HaTeva, God from time to time violates the laws of nature. And then he's Ma'ores HaNoshim, he arouses within man the understanding that Teva is really a nest Tmidi. But ultimately the goal is that we realize and appreciate or acknowledge that Ness is, that Teva is just another word for Ness. It's a constant, continuous Ness, unletting. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi. Now, we didn't quote the pasuk, I don't think. What is the pasuk that proves that mitzvah is palel and dumdumei chama? Omer Rab Zera, my krah, the pasuk tells us, Yira'uchem shemesh v'lifnei yoreach dor dorim. The Yeruchayim Shemesh is a reference to Tefillah Shachris. It should be Im HaNetzach Chama. V'lifnei Yoreach, that's a reference that Tefillah Mincha should be close to the time that the moon shines with Shkias HaChama after sunset. However, right before sunset, that's what we should be davening Mincha, according to Rabbi Yossi. Yom Rabbi Yossi, Yechelki. Just 1 second. Get the place here. Yichelki mi meisei becholei meayin. For those who die from intestinal disease, the Omer Mar, Ruben shal tzadikim meisim becholei meayin. In other words, choli, in the case of meayin, brings yisurim, terrible suffering, and that's memarek avonoseihem, that purifies and is a cathartic removal, a cleansing, purification of the sins of man, and brings atonement, and it brings kapara. That's what the tzaddikim will experience. And we have a medrash here that Tosis quotes: "Kidei lamarik achila min amayayim lios nekiim etorim kemalochi ashores." Some sort of cleansing process of the intestines that results in a tara, a purification that's similar to that of Malachi Asharis. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, I forgot to mention this earlier, based on a drasha, interprets that the Chama Aduma Baboker, the reason why the sun in the morning is red, is because it passes close to the roses of Gan Eden, which are on the east, which is in the east, I should say. And it looks, again, red in the evening because it passes over the Eish of Gehenna. So we understand that when a person davens in the morning, Shachris ben Netzach Chama, he'll remember Gan Eden, and he'll be aroused to become a God-fearing Jew. When he davens close to Shkias HaChama Mincha, he'll remember Gehenna. And once again, he'll get full of Hirhurei Tshuva, Shivra Nalev. So these are Zmanim that are very appropriate for Tefillah, for Tshuva. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki mi Meisei Baderech Mitzvah, for those who die on the way to a mitzvah. And it would seem that there's some sort of spiritual level, a special Madrega Ruchnis, for someone who finishes his life while Toch Kidei he's giving all his energy for a mitzvah. And even though we have a principle of Shluchei Mitzvah, Einam Nizakim, however, that means that he won't be damaged by the actual Hisaskus in the mitzvah, but at the time that he's doing the mitzvah, he might be Chas V'Sholem injured. So to read to you the language here, the Marsha, that Shluchei Mitzvah Nizokim is Klalu Shelo Yovalehem Shum Nezik Kitotzami Mitzvah Atzma. Omnam Yitochen She Yovalehem Nezik Bekolshu Misiba Acheres Legamri Bi Eis Shaosek Bemitzvah. Om Rav Yossi Chelki Mimachnisei Shabbos B'Teveria. Now, what is so great about those who receive the Shabbos in Tveria? So apparently in Tveria they receive the Shabbos early. And the reason for that is because Tveria is situated in a low land, in an emek. And Harim Svivoseha, she is surrounded by mountains. And Mastirin Es Ora Shemesh, which block the rays of the sun, and then people start Shabbos because they think it's already nighttime. And I want my chelik, says Rabbi Yossi, to be with those who on Motzi Shabbos are in Tzipori. Tzipori, on the other hand, is on top of a mountain. And when the sun is setting, the view from the top of the mountain is such that you see Or Gadol, you see a great amount of light. So it's before Shkiyas HaChama, therefore they are Ma'acharas HaShabbos. And this statement of Rabbi Yossi indicates how Tosefta Shabbos is so great that we accept our Shabbos early and we extend our Shabbos late. And Rabbi Kivega quotes from the Gilyon HaShas in the name of the Rimi Gash that Rabbi Yossi intends to tell us that perhaps he could be on the same Shabbos in Tveria to accept the Shabbos, and he could be in Tzipori when Shabbos exits. And that means that you're allowed to travel from Tveria to Tzipori on one single Shabbos, because the distance between the two is less than the Tchum of Shabbos. The Rif, on the other hand, in the Ein Yaakov, interprets the Kavanah, the meaning here of Rabbi Yossi, is that it'll be in Shabbos either in Tveria and Tzipori. And Rabbi Yossi wants to tell us, Shalom nomar, we shouldn't think Shebekach Shubit Tveri B'Knisa Shabbos Arei Pogei B'Yitzias HaShabbos, because in Tveri, which is low in an Emek, they can end Shabbos early. Or perhaps you would say that if he's in Tzipori and he's able to extend the Shabbos, but nevertheless he's Pogeim, he undermines the Knisas HaShabbos. No, Yei Chelki. All these approaches, whether it's the early approach in the case of Teferia, the later approach extending Shabbos and Motzi Shabbos like Tzipori, they're all laudable, they're all praiseworthy. And we're up to Omar Rabbi Yossi, Yehi Chelki Mimoshve Beis HaMedrash. He wants his Chelik to be with those who sit in the Beis HaMedrash. Rashi interprets this, these are the Chazonim, the Shamoshim, the Memunim, who gather together the Talmidim to bring them into the Beis HaMedrash on a daily basis. V'lomi ma'amidei Beis HaMedrash, not from those who are Memunim, to tell the people, well, you know, Higia Eis Lamod, it's time, give a clap, you know, the chadarochel is open, it's time to break from your learning and eat. I'd rather be a goreim of learning by encouraging the two talmidim gathering together to come into the basement than to leave the basement. Although it's true that eating a meal is going to strengthen the body and prepare a person for the study of Torah, but that's only a preparation. That's only a hechsher. It's not the mitzvah itself. Greater is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself. The achilah is only a means to an end. The Rav Ashar writes that Darkon, v'beis ha-medrash shahayu yoshvim v'shuros shuros yeshvim shahayu omdim al-kach omer av-yosi yechel ki v'yoshvei beis ha-medrash. Those who are standing are sort of like with one foot out the door, but those who are sitting are really eager to remain longer. They don't want to rush out of the Beis Medrash. Yomar Rabbi Yossi, Yichelki migaboy tztoka velomi mechalke tztoka. I'd rather be those who are appointed to collect tztoka than those who have responsibility to divvy out the tztoka. Rashi explains, Shemechalkim aleim livdo kol echad v'echad kama hu tzarech. You know, those who divvy out the money of tzedakah, they have to calculate exactly how much each person should receive. And sometimes they have preference. They love one ani and they have compassion on him. They give him a greater chelek than someone else. And sometimes the person who really deserves a chelek and needs it very well will end up with pachos mimashit tzarechlo. So that's a very dangerous position to be in, to have to divvy out the tzedakah in the fairest way. In fact, the Gemara says that tzedakah should be collected by two gabayim, never less than two, but it should be divvied up by never less than three. And those who divvy out tzedakah are responsible to check out the tzorche, the needs of each person who comes before them, as we discussed earlier. V'yomer Rabbi Yossi, echelki mimi shechoshlin oso v'ein bo. I'd like to have my chilek with those who are suspect, but are not guilty of sin as suspect. Now, the question is, what does he mean by this? Why is it good to be chashud on an avera? And the next line in the Gemara, Amrad Papa Lididi Chajdan Velo Havis Beis. He described himself as fitting into this category that they suspected him and he was not guilty. So the Ritva writes that Misha Choshlin Bo V'Ein Bo Zocha L'Kapor Gedola Al Shesovel Adovar, that if they're Choshlin, he suffers greatly, and that is a kapara that brings an atonement for his sins if he's not guilty of the sin as accused. The Marshal tries to connect this Gemara with a sugya in Masechta Bava Basra. Rav Papa was climbing up a ladder and he slipped when one of the rungs of the ladder was very shaky and he almost fell and died. And Rav Papa tried to figure out what caused him to reach that near-death situation, almost like Misa Skila. And one of the Amoraim suggested that perhaps a poor person came, because Rav Papa was known as a Gabbai Tztaka, and Rav Papa refused to supply him with tzedakah. That's why Rav Papa says here that he was nechshad ledover and lo hayabo, and that's how he describes himself. However, there's a Rashi and a Rashbam in Masechta Pesachim. Nochris Achas, there was a non-Jewish woman who owed money to Rav Papa. And on one particular day, before Rav Papa came to collect the chov, she, Nebuch, murdered her children. And she put them on a bed, and when Rav Papa came in, she asked Rav Papa to sit on the bed so that she can go bring the money. And that's exactly what Rav Papa did. And when she returned, she started yelling and screaming, Ratzachtas Banai. And at that time, he was accused of murder. And he had to run away from that state, from that nation, and he suffered tremendously from that chashad. And that was a kapara for his sins. So let's make a note of where we got up to. Amar Rabbi Yossi, we're on Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. And we're in the wide lines. I would say we're approximately 20 lines up from the bottom of the Omid. We'll continue with Shem tomorrow.